الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. Before we continue with the dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, let me mention one hadith which is related to our topic. The hadith is in Kitab al-Khisal of Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullah alayh, which says, إن الله أخفى أربعة في أربعة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden four things inside four other things. أخفى رضاه في طاعته فلا تستصغرن شيئا من طاعته فربما وافق رضاه وأنت لا تعلم. He has hidden his Rida, which is pleasure, what all of us seek. We all of us seek to reach to a point where Allah is pleased with us. He has hidden that in his obedience. So nothing of his obedience you should take lightly, because that one obedience that you take lightly might conform with his pleasure and you miss it. It's one thing. أخفى سخطه في معصيته فلا تستصغرن شيئا من معصيته فربما وافق سخطه وأنت لا تعلم. He has hidden his wrath in his disobedience. So do not take any act of disobedience lightly, because that act of disobedience that you take lightly may exactly fall under that category of wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't know. What in fact the hadith is telling us, that when you are dealing with God, or when you confront things which are related to God, do not take anything related to Him lightly. Because sometimes we may not know by one simple act what we are doing to ourselves, in terms of good or bad. Different types of obedience. We shouldn't say that, okay, I'm doing this, that's enough. So for example, I'm doing my duties, my prayers, my fasting. Why should I pay so much sadaqah or do infaq or other things? Why should I help others? Why should I do this, do that? Every field of good acts we have to take seriously. And on the other hand, every type of evil act we have to take seriously as well, so that we do not fall under the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two. The third one is أَخْفَى وَلِيَّهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ فَلَا تَسْتَصْغِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِّنْ أَحَدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ فَرُبَمَا أَنْ يَكُونَ وَلِيَّهُ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَعْلَمُ. His wali. Wali is friend, isn't it? When we talk about awliya, Allah means friends of God. Allah is very zealous about His friends. Very zealous. If you befriend with God, if you befriend with God, then you don't know how God shows His support and His blessing for you. Even you deal with other people, when you deal with other people, if other people take you lightly, disrespect you, or whatever, that would bring His wrath upon them, because you are His friend. just in our daily interactions, how do we show our affections and our feelings about our friends, especially if that friendship is a true friendship? Now, God is like that with regards to his friends. And who is his friend? His friend is someone who is absolutely free of evil, or tries to be free of evil, tries to be free of evil. This becomes friend of God. So, he has hidden his friends in his all human being, all human beings, in his creatures. So, do not disrespect any person, because that person might be a friend of God. Of course, we are talking about believers, certainly, because disbelievers cannot be friends of God. And by disbelievers, we mean those who do not believe in God at all, those who do not follow his prophets. So, do not take them lightly, do not disrespect them, because then that one person may be a friend of God, and that will bring you lots of consequences. وَأَخْفَى إِجَابَتَهُ فِي دُعَائِهِ فَلَا تَسْتَسْخِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِّن دُعَائِهِ فَرُبَمَا وَافَقَ إِجَابَتَهُ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَعْلَمُ. And do not take, and he has hidden his response in his dua. So do not take any dua lightly. Do not neglect any type of dua, because that one single dua that you neglect, of course I want to talk about the meaning of this and the relation to dua Abu Hamza now. That single dua that you neglect, it might be the dua which meets the response of Allah and his fulfillment. Then, and you don't know. You don't know about it. And you just neglect that. Now, what does this mean? Do not take any type of dua lightly. If you look into this dua of Abu Hamza, you see Imam alayhi salam brings different expressions, makes different approaches, brings different excuses. From different sides, he tries to approach God. Maybe, that one approach that he's making is the one which would meet the ijaba and response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important. We have to try every door. We have to try every single dua, so that we meet the ijaba of Allah. And by dua, I have, of course, emphasized this several times, and I do emphasize it tonight as well. By dua, I mean something that we call from our heart. Dua is different from recitation of the Quran. Of course, recitation of the Quran, you have to know, understand the meaning, but even if you do not understand the meaning, the very recitation has a sawab. Because that recitation in Arabic would keep the whole tradition, the whole literature alive, and you convey to future generations, it will thrive and go on and on, move during generations. That's very good. Of course, that does not fulfill the mission of the Quran, which is guidance. Unless you understand what it says, it would not fulfill the mission of the Quran, which is guidance, but it fulfills other missions. That guidance is conveyed to your children, to others. Dua is not like that, that you recite in Arabic and you say, okay, I have done something. Dua should come from your heart. It's very good that we learn Arabic and we can recite the duas in Arabic. However, if we just recited us, for example, Dua Kumail, we just recite it in Arabic and we don't understand anything about it, would a rational person say that you have called upon God? No, we haven't called upon God. We just have recited something. So dua should come from the heart. And that's why it's important, these different types of different traditions of A'imma alayhi salam, which have come to us as these treasures of dua, We have to try to call upon God through them. It's very important, through them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, call me, I respond. And calling, of course, has its own very clear meaning, that you have to call from your heart. Call me and I respond. We do not know how to call him. That's our problem. We do not know. We are not intimate enough to start praising, to start to ask things. Now we'll come to the request that Imam has. Up till now we have talked about different approaches of Imam in Dua Abu Hamza. But what request he has, we'll come to that inshallah, and we see how beautiful he puts his requests. Long, long list of requests Imam put there. It's not only a munajat, it's not only whispering with God, not asking anything, no. There's a long list of requests. And at the end, very beautifully and very cleverly, the Imam says that, give me whatever I asked, and you add to it those things that I forgot to ask you. So everything, I want everything, I want every good thing. Give me all that I asked you, and you add from your own knowledge whatever I forgot, I neglected, I don't know. There are things that, which are very good for me, but I don't know. So you add it to me for me as well. We'll come to that. However, all these different approaches, which, of course, tonight we finish the different types of approaches, and from tomorrow, inshallah, we go to the requests of the Imam, come from a heart which is quite familiar with Allah. He knows how to call, he knows how to approach, he knows what to invoke. These are very important things. Otherwise, if we knew, we would have just done the same thing. We would have called Allah ourselves. We didn't need to read these du'as. We didn't need that. We would have done it ourselves. But we cannot. Just try it. Sit before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to call him and say things. You will have a one-page list of requests, nothing else. You cannot approach God the way the Imam approaches it. Let me mention one story. You may have heard this before from me. There was a very famous Orientalist, Henri Corbin. You probably have heard about him. He was an Orientalist, a French Orientalist, Henri Corbin, who was studying in the field of Shi'i literature and history, and especially Imamology and such things. For that purpose, he traveled a lot to Iran, to Qom and Tehran, and he, through Sayyid Hussein Nasr, who probably most of you have heard about him, the professor in the United States, through him, he was introduced to Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah. And in several journeys that he had to Iran, sometimes they met with Allama Tabatabai in Tehran, sometimes they met in Qom. And there are a couple of books from Allama Tabatabai which are actually a summary of the discussions he had with Henri Corbin, like Shia in Islam and Quran in Islam. These discussions were recorded and they came as a book. Usually when they met, Corbin started to ask questions about Shi'i faith, about Shi'i history, about Shi'i belief, and Allama Tabatabai responded. This anecdote is recorded in a book about Allama Tabatabai called Mihr Taban. It says that in one of those meetings, before Corbin is starting to ask questions, Allama told him, I want to ask you a question before we start. He said, okay, what? He said, you are a believer, a Christian. Well, there are some reports that say towards the end of his life, Corbin became Muslim, converted to Islam. Maybe, one of the people who was present at the deathbed of Qurban says that Qurban at the end confessed Islam. But anyhow, at that time, he was a Christian. Allama told him that, and of course he was a professor of Arabic language, knew Arabic very well. Allama told him that, you are a believer, you believe in God. He said, yes. He said, every believer, every true believer, find moments in their lives that they want to talk to God. They want to approach God. They want to say things to God. But our problem is that because we are usually far away from God, we don't know how to talk to Him. We don't know what to tell Him. We, especially Muslims, especially the Shias, we have a wealth of literature, du'as, from the Prophet, from our A'imma, which when we want to talk to God, we talk to God through these du'as. You see, again, we talk to God through these du'as. Not that we just recite something. No, we talk to God through these du'as. I want to ask you, I haven't seen anything like these du'a. Not only praise, not only scripture. You don't have anything like this in Christianity. When you are in these moments, when you find these moments in your heart, how do you talk to God? How do you call upon Him? Now, Qurban said something very interesting. He said that in many occasions of my life, I have found these moments. And whenever I find these moments, I read Sahifa Sajjadiyya and I cry with it. Sahifa Sajjadiyya of Imam Zainul Abidin. I mean, just take away things about Islam in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. Just say this is a sort of whispering, a sort of conversation, or a sort of monologue from a human being to the Lord, any human being. I mean, people of every faith can find this moving. Really, they can find it moving. Because it comes from the inner part of human soul, which talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what you find in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. Usually, in Dua Abu Hamza. Usually, when I want to introduce Sahifa Sajjadiyya to anyone, I invoke this verse from the Quran in Surah Qaf. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Anyone who has heart will be moved by this. The way Imam tries to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these different types of approach we find in Dua Abu Hamza. We talked about a couple of them in the last couple of nights. Now, tonight I want to mention another field or another avenue which Imam opens towards God. And that's the avenue of hope and the avenue of love. Hope and love. That no matter what you do with me, no matter you respond me, you do not respond me, you want to punish me, you don't want to punish me. My hope would not cease. And my love would not finish for you. First of all, let me confess something to you. That if I do not find you, it is my fault, it's not your fault. Because anyone who wants to start journey towards you, find him, find you next to him. You are so close. وَأَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَ. Someone who wants to travel to you, the distance is so short. It is so short. We think it's long. We think he's far away. Well, he himself says, ونحن أقرب إليكم إليه من حبل الوريد. We are closer to you than the jugular vein. He's so close. And the mom says, anyone who decides to come, الراحل, anyone who sets out for a journey towards you should traverse a very short distance, very short, very close. Just open the eyes, that's all. Of course, eyes of the heart. وَأَنَّ الرَّاحِلَ إِلَيْكَ قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَةِ وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ. You do not put yourself in a veil from your creatures. You do not hide yourself from them. So why don't we see you? So where are you? Why don't we see you? إِلَّا أَنْ يَحْتَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. It's their actions which take you away from their eyes. They cannot see you. It's because of our acts. Because of our acts, we do not feel His presence. We do not see His hand. We need to go through long, long arguments, discussions, reasoning to say there is a God. Well, you don't need any of these. Just open the eyes of your heart. A mystic was, this is of course a parable, not something real. A mystic was saying that, oh God, if you are so beautiful, if you are so majestic, why do you hide yourself? Why do you hide yourself? And God replied, oh man, if you are so wise, why don't you open your eyes? Open your eyes. You can see me. I don't hide myself. You have closed your eyes and you say, God, where are you? Where are you? You open your eyes, you see me. أَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ. You do not go into veil from your creatures. It is their acts which do it. You know what's our difference with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam? And of course, his progeny, the household. The household. The household has a specific meaning, not all his relatives, of course. Like for example, Nuh thought that every person, every member of his family is his Ahlul Bayt. And that's why when his son was drawn, he said, قَالَ رَبَّ إِنَّ إِبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. Well, according to all definitions, Ya Allah, go to any book of any lexicon, go to any dictionary. They say your son is from your Ahlul Bayt, your wife is from your Ahlul Bayt, isn't it? All are from Ahlul Bayt. And he said, رَبِّ إِنَّ إِبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِ. You said you will save my Ahlul Bayt. So my son was drawn. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He's your son, but not from your Ahlul Bayt. So when we talk about the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, we mean very, very specific members of his family. Now, what is our difference with him? Why did we all the time send salat to him? Why Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Why so much attention to him? Why all concentrate, every Muslim should concentrate his attention to the Prophet? What is the difference? Was he not a human being like us? Yes, he was. If anyone says Prophet was not a human being like us, he has contradicted Muslim faith, he has contradicted the Quran, he hasn't read the Quran, which Prophet says several times, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am just a human being like you. But a human being which had opened his heart and then could see God everywhere, could feel the presence, not feel the presence, could see the presence of whatever. That's the difference. And that makes him a human being. Because human beings usually don't have this ability, or they just destroy this ability. They think that if anyone has this ability, is not a human being. We have to think otherwise. We are not human beings. We have destroyed our human capabilities to feel the presence of God, to see the hand of God everywhere. So, أنك لا تحتجب عن خلقك إلا أن يحجبه الأعمال دونك. So it's only our acts which put you away from us. Then we cannot see you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pure, so lovable, so clean, that the slightest uncleanliness, the slightest impurity would take us away from Him. He does not allow impurity to approach Him. That's why impure people cannot see. وَأَنْ يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بَهَا. Every sign they see, they do not believe. Why? Because of the impurity. Impurity doesn't allow it. Okay, this is one thing he establishes, that anyone who wants to set out towards you, you are very close, and you have no veil. Alhamdulillah الذي لا يغلق بابه. We praise God that His doors are never closed. Never the doors are closed. It only needs an intention to go there. Okay. From hope. In one expression, the Imam says, فَوَعِزَّتَكَ يَا سَيِّدِي لَوْ انْتَهَرْتَنِي مَا بَرَحْتُ مِنْ بَابِكَ. I swear by your dignity, my Lord, if you send me away from your door. He says in one place, Sayyidi Abduka bi Babak, your servant is on your door. Now, if you want to send me away from your door, if you want to push me away from yourself, ma barahtu min babak, I would not depart, I would not go anywhere. No matter how you insist that I should go, I wouldn't go. This is insistence. This dua is insistence, isn't it? I wouldn't go. وَلَا كَفَفْتُ عَنْ تَمَلُّقَكَ. I would not stop praising you. You may not want to respond to me, but I do not stop praising you. Why? لِمَنْ تَهَى إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِجُودِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. Because of what I've heard about your generosity and your benevolence, it's impossible that you do that. In another expression, the same thing he invokes and says, لِمَا أُلْهِمَ قَلْبِي. Because my heart testifies, مِنَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِكَرَمِكَ. My heart testifies to your benevolence. أَنَا لَا أَنْسَى عَيَادِيكَ. And how can I forget what you have done to me? Isn't it? How can I forget what you have done to me? What sort of thing I was? Just a drop of water. Look what you have done to me. Should I forget this? I don't forget this. So, أَنَا لَا أَنْسَى عَيَادِيكَ. In another place, he says, here he mixes hope with love. Look how beautifully. I don't know, sometimes these du'as, when I try to read it or to experience it, to say it from my heart, I feel that this is not my cup. This is not something that I can say. Sometimes some du'as, honestly, I say, this is not something that I can say. This is not yet my level. Now, look what Imam says here. Elahi, if you, on the day of judgment, لو قرنتني بالأصفاد ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد, and in front of all people, you deprive me of your benevolence. You say, this is a deprived servant. This does not deserve anything. وَمَنَعْتَنِي سَيْبَكَ مِنْ بَيْنِ الْأَشْهَادِ وَدَلَلْتَ عَلَىٰ فَضَائِهِ عُيُونَ الْعِبَادِ, and let everyone watch my indecencies, my sins, my evils. Let everyone does that. وَأَمَرْتَ بِي إِلَى النَّارِ, and command the angels to take me to hell. وَحُلْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and bar between between me and the good people, your good servants. ما قطعت رجائي منك. My hope will not be cut off from you. Can we say this? The slightest difficulty which comes to us, we lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why I said, this is not our cup. This is not our level. This is a different level. This is a different ma'rifah. This is a different knowledge of God. مَا قَتَعْتُ رَجَاءِ مِنْكَ وَمَا صَرَفْتُ تَعْمِيلِ لِلْعَفْوَ عَنْكَ. I do not lose hope that you will one day forgive me. You will bring me out. You will honor me one day. مَا صَرَفْتُ لِلْعَفْوَ عَنْكَ. And this is the best part of it. وَلَا خَرَجَ حُبُّكَ مِنْ قَلْبِ. Your love never goes out of my heart. Never. أَنَا لَا أَنْسَى عَيَادِكَ عِنْدِي. As I said, I never forget. And then he says, رَبَّ أَخْرَجْ حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ قَلْبِ, which is a request. We'll come to that later on. In another place he says, وَلَا إِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنَ النَّارِ. Okay. Or let me read this from the beginning. It says that Elahi law sayyidi la talab dhunun sabah. If you want to put me on the spot because of my sins, I will demand from you your promise of forgiveness. If you want to ask me about my meanness, I will demand your benevolence that you have promised. And if you meet the hell there, what do you think I will do there? In hell, do you think I shout? Do you think I try to just cry? No. لا أخبرن أهل النار بحبي لك. I inform the inhabitants of hell how I love you. I'm going to defy them by telling them how I love you. Evil people, I'm there. Another place he says, I mean, it's so beautiful. One cannot think about this soul, how this soul is, how this heart is connected to the Lord. In the nights of Ihya, in Layal al-Qadr, when we say, Elahi ba'ali ibn al-Husayn, ba'ali ibn al-Husayn, when I say this, I always think about these souls, this heart. Who was this Ali ibn al-Husayn? What type of heart he had? What type of love he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, when you ask God and you say, Elahi ba'ali ibn al-Husayn, ba'ali ibn al-Husayn, Allah will of course look, pay attention to you. Because this is Ali ibn al-Husayn. This is the person that you are invoking. This is the person that you are mentioning to God. Anyhow, وَلَئِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ لَأُخْبِرَنَّ أَهْلَ النَّارِ بِحُبِّ لَكَ. And then he says, Ya Allah, the only thing that I have in this world is my love for you. And I know that you will not disappoint me despite this love. I have chosen this from different places, of course, of the dua. Because, as I say, Imam moves from one branch to another branch, one approach to another approach, then comes back to the same approach, then leaves it and goes to another approach, seeks every avenue to find a way to God. He says, وَقَدْ سَاقَنِي إِلَيْكَ عَمَلِي. My hope has brought me here. My hope has driven me towards you. So are you going to disappoint me? No, I'm sure you are not going. وَقَدْ سَاقَنِي إِلَيْكَ عَمَلِي وَأَلَيْكَ يَا وَاحِدِي أَكَفَتْ حِمَّتِي. Oh, my single one, I never think about anything but you in this world and hereafter. وَأَلَيْكَ يَا وَاحِدِي أَكَفَتْ حِمَّتِي. My ambition just rests on your door. Nothing else. وَفِي مَا عِنْدَكَ بَسَرَتْ رَغْبَتِي. My desire is only with what is with you. وَلَكَ خَالِصُ رَجَائِي وَخَوْفِي. My pure hope, my pure fear is for you. وَبِكَ أَنَسَتْ مَحَبَّتِي. My love knows no one but you. You see how he is now approaching from love. Once he approaches from hope, he approaches from love, وَبِكَ أَنَسَتْ مَحَبَّتِي. My love knows no one but you. So if you drive me away, if you push me back, where should I go? I know none. I know no one. I know nothing but you. Ya مولاي بِذِكْرِكَ عَاشَ قَلْبِي. With your remembrance, my heart lives. So if I do not remember you, I die. My heart dies. وَبِمُنَاجَاتِكَ بَرَّتُ عَلَمَ الْخَوْفَ عَنِّي. Which is another type of approach. Anyhow, there are other things about hope and love that I just jotted down. We leave this for time being, and inshallah, from tomorrow night we start to go to analyze the requests of the Imam alayhi salam. What he now requests. Sometimes A'imma alayhi salam just prays without any request. And sometimes they praise and request. And of course both are good. Sometimes they are so absorbed that they cannot ask anything. Just praise. Sometimes no. They go for a request. They start praising. When the soul is elevated by praise of God, by remembrance of God, and then they start asking. And that's when the blessings come down. When the blessing pour upon the soul, upon the heart. That's when it comes. So inshallah, from tomorrow night, we will analyze the requests of the Imam. And it's not something that we can afford to request. We have to follow the Imam in these requests. Because he is the one who knows what is best for dunya, what is best for akhirah. And you would see, you will identify yourself with those requests, inshallah, from tomorrow night. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessing of internalizing this literature into our hearts and follow inshallah A'imma alayhimu salam who had this type of soul so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Ahlul Bayt TV, the holy household for every household.